Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Good morning again and welcome. My guest today, Janet Fichter, is an author who writes to inspire readers to gain a broader, more spiritual perspective of life's events. Her spiritual reflection guide, The Ministry of the Unveiled Face, was published in early 2022. Since then, she has switched to the young adult fantasy genre with her two recent releases, Princess Tiara and the Crown of Virtues, and Princess Tiara and the Battle for Fruitful. Good morning, Janet. Welcome to Step Into the Light.
Good morning, and thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
Janet, I should say welcome back, actually, because you were on the show here last year when your Ministry of the Unveiled Face came out, and we discussed that at length. So today it's going to be fun to talk about something that's entirely different from what we discussed last time. First of all, would you share with us what motivated you to begin writing in the first place?
Well, thank you. I am just kind of wired to be a writer. My mother was a writer and an English teacher, and I am a retired public school teacher, and teaching writing was always my favorite subject to teach. I've written all my life. I remember in fourth grade putting a poetry booklet together and, you know, just in beginning to compile original poems that came to my mind. And I just have, it's just always been the way I express myself and find meaning in ideas and thought processes. And I just am kind of a language nerd and just love the exploration of expression and analogy and just the beauty that language can give you, when writing especially can give you.
Sounds like you were wired from the very beginning, that it was in your blood, Janet, and I think it's wonderful that you went ahead and followed up with that desire and that talent that you have. Well, you wrote The Ministry of the Unveiled Face, which was a nonfiction book that leads Christians more or less toward evangelism, actually. In fact, I was reviewing your book just the other day again because it had been a while since I had looked at it. So what inspired you to switch to a very different genre, the fantasy middle grade reader story?
Well, thank you for the question. Probably a couple of things came into play. Number one, you know, having been a public school teacher and having worked with upper grade, elementary and middle grade students for so many years, I just have always enjoyed the stories that you use as mentor text when you're teaching them and writing stories together, guiding them through that process. So the genre's not horribly unfamiliar to me, but I also wanted to, it's not my comfortable genre. Nonfiction is definitely an easier genre for me to write. So I really wanted to hone my fiction writing skills. The other reason that I switched genres for the time being is that I had written this story, the Tiara, Princess Tiara and the Crown of Virtues. I had written it a very long time ago. Its original form was very short, and I wrote it when my niece Tiara was 10 years old. So Tiara is a real person.
Oh my.
She is my niece. And I wrote a story for her because I wanted to give her a special gift. And I just wanted to emphasize the importance of living a life of virtue for Tiara. It just kind of developed. I gave it to her as a gift 10, 12 years ago. Now she's 20, almost 21.
So, oh, my goodness.
And yeah. So it kind of sat for many years until I retired. And then once I retired and I delved into this bucket list item of writing, I thought, oh, I need to improve that story and I need to see if I can get it published. And it became sort of like a legacy project for me to leave for my nieces and nephews, a family story. But then I just fell in love with the process and the, you know, story development and character development. And so,
and, you know, I really believe you say you sat on that story for quite a while. Janet, but I truly believe that there's a reason for God's timing. I've heard more than one situation where a person doesn't publish a story for a long time, and when they do, it just really takes off. And maybe if they had published it 10 or 15 years previous when they wrote it, it wouldn't have done so well. So I always believe that's in God's hands. And I want to congratulate you for following up and bringing that story to fruition. Would you tell us about the two books? Give us a little bit of a synopsis, if you would, enough to whet the appetite of our listeners, but don't tell us the whole story.
Okay, I will. Just building upon what I said about the first book, The Princess Tiara and the Crown of Virtues, it's a fantasy, fairy tale type story for young adult readers, middle grade readers, and it's a very simple story that kind of takes you through how the youngest princess in the kingdom of Fruitful learns about virtue. She has six older siblings who are also my nieces and nephews, and from each of these siblings, she learns how they earned their gem for their crown, and the only way they can be crowned is to prove that they have a virtue. Each one has experienced a test of character, and each one has risen to the challenge and proven that they have some type of virtue. Tiara, in this story, though she doesn't really want to mess around with wearing a crown, she'd rather explore the beautiful land of Fruitful. She involves herself in learning from her siblings and spending time with each of her older siblings to learn how they earned their virtue. By the time the story ends, she is presented with her own challenge of character and rises to the occasion and realizes she has, and this is where I won't give it away, but she has at least one.
Yes.
And I wanted to kind of build upon the plot for the second book, The Battle for Fruitful, continues upon the story of the Crown of Virtues. And in The Battle for Fruitful, all of the children and the kingdom are confronted with an enemy force that they knew nothing about. And this enemy force is bent on destroying parts of Fruitful, and they have been deceived into believing a lie about the kingdom of Fruitful. So all kinds of adventure and problems are faced by the Tiara and her siblings, while her siblings kind of work together to protect the kingdom and to warn the villagers in the kingdom and to figure out who this enemy is. Tiara takes an arduous journey up a very steep mountain on a nearby kingdom called the Kingdom of Mysterious Peaks. She goes there seeking help for her kingdom because she's very worried about her kingdom.
Well, I've read both stories and I enjoyed them, and I'm certainly not a middle grade reader, so that it's available for, or it's a story that I believe all ages would enjoy. Both of them are. I read both books. And I wanted to share also, without giving too much away, that I really like the way that you paired the siblings with their virtues, and you explained how people came to realize that that was the virtue that that person had, what particular situation led them to manifest that virtue. So I enjoyed both of the books. What messages do you wish to convey to young readers with these stories?
So kind of the message comes through from both stories that who we are, who children are, who the identity that we have is far more tied to living a virtuous and righteous and faithful life than some of the messages that are out there nowadays. Hear about it all the time. Our children are being raised in the era of fake news, so it's becoming almost typical that they just assume things can't be true or things be believed. And a lot of that effort at deception spreads over to who they are, who their identity is. We've got gender confusion issues, and we've got all kinds of identity issues, and kids are just really struggling to know who they are. And the only place where that can be found is at the foot of the cross. So even though these books are not blatantly Christian, they are an allegory, a spiritual allegory for the kingdom of God and how that interacts with this natural earthly realm. So I'm hoping the message that is portrayed to my readers would be that we need to come into the light and out of darkness and find who we are and what our virtues are and what will make life good and true by really seeking to understand the spiritual kingdom of God.
Thank you for sharing about that and for providing some wholesome reading to our young people today, because there's not a whole lot out there sometimes for young people. I shouldn't say there's not a whole lot, but there is a lot that is overshadowing the good stuff, in my opinion. And what do I know about it? My grandkid has already graduated from college, but just from little things I've heard from some parents that there's really issues going on in our schools today. And you also did a very good job of bringing out some of the deceptions that people do believe today, such as, I'm trying to remember the names of the places now, and but the one lady, oh my goodness, what was her name? I just finished your book the other night too. The one that was the cook.
Her name is Arkanta. I mean, the names are, you know, it's a medieval setting, so some of the names are a little bit different, but.
Arkanta. She believed things that were not true at all about the people of the kingdom of fruitful, and she was very greedy. And I don't want to give away too much of the story, but anyway, you did a really good job of portraying the way that some people think about other people, and it's total misconceptions. And I did love some of your names, the Cave of Stones, and the Rocky Bluffs, and the Mysterious Peaks, and they all sounded very fantastical, I guess, and like you just did a good job of creating this fantasy world for kids, I thought. So I wanted to share that with listeners.
When you're a writer, you visualize your setting as canon, and that's so fun. It always takes me to a happy place to sort of picture the layout and the special spots in the Kingdom of Fruitful that are portrayed in the stories.
That's another thing I thought was neat. Didn't you put in your second book, I think, didn't you put a map
of
the different places? And I thought, oh, wow, that is neat.
Yeah.
You did make the comment that your characters are based on real people. Would you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Yes. I said the original book, the Crown of Virtues book, became a legacy writing for my nieces and nephews. I do not have any of my own children, but I have eight delightful nieces and nephews.
Aww.
And so each one of them is a character. And Tiara, of course, is my youngest niece. And then the others, you know, kind of go up in age from Tiara to Prince BK to Princess Grace, and then to Princess Lauren, and then Prince Joshua, and then Princess Brittany, and then Princess Desiree. The King and Queen, King Jonathan and Queen Margaret, are named for my parents, who are no longer with us, but I wanted to give them a little bit of honor because they were wonderful, amazing, godly parents. And then all the other characters that surface in the second book, the Battle for Fruitful book, there's a bunch in there, a lot of new characters that represent other family members, my brothers, my sisters, my in-laws, and some other really special people in our lives. So all of that is explained in the back of the Battle for Fruitful book that, you know, kind of explains the spiritual allegory and symbolism in the book, but it also explains who the characters are too.
Yes. Yeah. Well, how neat that you have such an amazing family that you can use them as the characters in your books.
And each one, each of my nieces and nephews they're all virtuous, wonderful, talented individuals. I basically picked really one of their virtues to sort of highlight, and it's not the only virtue they have, obviously, in life. They all are people of many virtues, but I just picked one that I thought was a real strength that I would highlight for each of them.
So you did a wonderful job. We'll take a break here, where I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light with host Patty Sheen. My guest today is Janet Fichter, educator and author of The Spiritual Reflection Guide, The Ministry of the Unveiled Faith, and two middle-grade fantasy novels, Princess Tiara and the Crown of Virtues, and Princess Tiara and the Battle for Fruitful. If you would like to listen to this episode again, or hopefully refer to friends and family, it is on archive. The most current 5 episodes can be found on the homepage at pattysheene.com. That's spelled PATTISHENE.com. The podcast tab at the top of the page will give you access to archived episodes. Under each episode is a more information tab that provides links to guest website, social media, and other resource information. Let's return to our interview with Janet. Janet, you are a teacher. You have a background in teaching. You have a background in education. You're also a writer. You've written these books. There's a lot of changes going on in our school system today. And as I said, I am not directly involved with it because my kids and my one grandchild are long out of even high school. My question is, how does an author such as yourself go about getting a story like yours into the schools today in view of what is being pushed in our education system?
Yes, it's not an easy job. It won't be an easy job, especially with the second book, which has a little stronger Christian message. But I leave a lot of that in God's hands, praying for open doors and receptive teachers. And I do think those who are courageous in the classroom, and I know many Christian teachers who are courageously trying to teach in a public school, that they will take that step to make the book available to their students. You know, every book can be used to educate. Every book can be used as mentor text. Yes. I wrote these books to highlight, you know, especially how important it is to use analogy when you're writing, description, character development. So all of those things are definitely teachable through these books. Plus, children love to get lost in a story. So, you know, the wise teacher, the wise librarian, the wise parent will see this is a good book that I don't have to worry about what the book is doing to my child's mind. It's filling their mind with good and righteous things, and I don't have to worry about it if I give them that book. And so that's my hope. I'm also, you know, understanding how the climate that we live in, the cancel culture climate, the woke climate, but I'm also encouraged by what Kirk Cameron and groups like Kirk Cameron has, it's called Brave Books, where they are actively trying to make good books available in libraries. Some, not all, but some libraries have also joined the camp of, oh, we can have everything but Christian message. Doesn't matter what message we have, everybody has that right, except for Christians. So I think libraries, some librarians are actively using that. Yeah, we need to, all messages should be heard, and that includes the Christian message. So I'm a little bit encouraged by efforts like that. But it's tricky to creative in how you present the message that God is good and that there is a spiritual realm and a spiritual kingdom that children need to know about, children need to explore, children need to seek. I continue and will continue to look for creative ways to reach young adult readers. And as you said earlier, you know, they're bombarded by, I would say, messages from the dark side, so to speak, or, you know, messages that turn their thoughts towards dark and dangerous things that some children aren't ready for or should never be exposed to or should definitely be wary of. So the more messages of truth and light and righteousness and faithfulness, the better.
Yes, because a lot of the messages they're getting, from what I understand from talking to people, Janet, are deceptive. They don't speak the truth, and that's the sad part. And these kids are being indoctrinated with this. And, yeah, we could probably go on all day about that. But it's just wonderful to see somebody like you who is willing to put your work out there and do your best to get it promoted. Well, I know you have a very exciting event coming up in November. Tell us about that.
November 4th, it's a Saturday. I belong to, as many authors do, I belong to a writer's group. It's called Writers on the Rock, and it's a Colorado group. I'm in the Lakewood chapter, but they have a couple different chapters throughout Colorado. We are having a fall book fair. And so I'm launching, you know, doing my official launch of the second book, Princess Tiara and the Battle for Fruitful, at this book fair. And, you know, I don't like the limelight. I'm not a person that likes all the attention. And I thought, well, maybe I could take some of the attention off me by making it into a fair and letting so many of my author friends have an opportunity to share their books as well. So we turned it into a book fair. There'll be about 8 authors there presenting genres of all kinds, from young adult books, children's books, personal memoir. I've got a couple of those. Then a young poet who she is so good. She's one of the best poets I've ever read, and she's just starting out. She's going to have a table where it's more interactive, where she will help you write a poem. So really excited about that. It's Saturday, November 4th at 2:30 in the afternoon at the Front Porch Coffee Shop, which is on 3101 South Kipling in Bear Creek. It's part of the Bridge Church, which is right next to Bear Creek High School.
And I wanted to thank you, Janet, for inviting me. I would love to have been there, but as you know, I live way down here in this remote corner of Colorado. So yes, it would have been a pretty long trip for me, you know, for the day. But I do want to thank you for inviting me. And I'm sorry I won't be able to be there, but I will definitely be cheering for you and the other authors that are involved. I hope you have wonderful exposure and wonderful sales, and I will keep you all in prayer.
Well, thank you.
So, Janet, you've been a writer for quite a while. I'm sure you're not going to stop with these two books. What's next on your agenda in your writing life?
Well, I'm kind of, you know, when you get a project finished, you have to kind of reevaluate. So I'm kind of reevaluating, and I've done 2 fiction books now, and I'm sort of missing the nonfiction genre. So I don't necessarily feel ready to do a whole nother book, but I think I'm going to try to get some articles written and published in Christian periodicals. That's on my list of next steps. But another thing, I just love supporting other authors, and I've been a beta reader for many, especially, you know, the young authors that are starting out. I just, that's the teacher in me. I would love to help young authors understand, you know, the steps involved, and also just, you know, give them feedback on their stories and their pieces. I honestly am hoping to do a lot more beta reading in the near future to help other authors.
Wonderful. Well, that sounds certainly like a blessing to whoever you help, Janet. And I love it when there are authors who are already out there, already established to a degree, and are willing to reach out to new authors. We need the expertise and the experience of those who come before. And that's how American Christian Fiction Writers got started. You know, it started out with 4 core authors back in, 2001, maybe even before that. So now, what is there, something like 2,500 people in that organization?
Yeah, it's had amazing growth, hasn't it?
Oh, my goodness, yes. So, and I'm glad that you're, now, Writers on the Rock, are they Christian or not necessarily?
They are Christian, yeah.
Okay.
I think there's, before COVID, I think there were a few more chapters that, you know, COVID kind of, things fizzled out, making meeting together so hard. And like many of the chapters are still only meeting online. Mm-hmm. One, I know the Douglas County chapter has gone back to in-person meeting. And even my Lakewood chapter, it's kind of hybrid. We have online meetings, and then we have writing days when we'll gather and just write our hearts away and, you know, listen to each other's ideas and things like that. And a little story, I know you know Diane Campbell from ACFW. She and
Absolutely.
I both lived in Greeley years ago, and that was my first writer's group. Diane Temple had just maybe a handful of us once a month or so come to her house, and we would talk about writing. So that was a long time ago, but Diane has always been a very wonderful mentor for me.
Oh, yeah, she's a very strong support. The Colorado Springs has grown quite a bit. We've really added some new members over the past few months, so it's been great.
Calling a lot more artists to jump in, take the risk, you know, fulfill that dream they've always had, but they've never taken the time to work on. I just feel like it's sort of ballooning. There's so many artists and writers and musicians and, you know, people stepping into a gift, a talent that God has given them.
Yes, and that's something that we certainly need, and it's a blessing that anybody who feels that call follows up with it. Tell us about your blog.
I have an active blog. I usually send out a new post of some sort once a month. And so it includes some nonfiction pieces. It includes one or two very short fiction pieces. And then lots of poetry, because I love to write poems. It also, yeah, that's the basic, you know, the three categories of my writing. I also have been experimenting with Kindle Vella stories. I don't know if you're familiar with what Kindle Vella is, but it is so easy if you just have a short story. It uploads very easily and quickly to Kindle Vella through Amazon. So I'll probably do a few more of those as short stories surface and percolate in my head.
Janet, is there anything else you'd like to share before we say goodbye? We've still got a little bit of time. If there's something that I didn't bring up that you're thinking, oh, we should have talked about this.
Just to let people know if they know of a parent or a teacher or a librarian or a young adult who needs something to read, that these books are now available on Amazon. And, you know, I'm willing to help any young author that's out there that would be interested in having some support. So all those things I've already said, just to make sure we're getting the word out, I guess.
I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing with us not only about your books, but about your feelings regarding young people and what they need to be reading today. And thank you again for taking that step to get some wholesome work out there. And may God continue to bless you and your writing endeavors.
Thank you, Patty. God bless you too and all of your listeners.
Listeners, thank you so much for listening today. If you would like to listen to this show again, it is on archive. Go to my website, which is pattysheene.com. That's spelled PATTISHEENE.com. The most current 5 episodes are found right on the home page. You'll find the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page. Click on that. It will give you a link to all the shows we have aired to date. Under each show is a more information tab. Click on that, and you will find more information about our guests, such as website and social media contacts. I can also be found on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Pinterest as Patty Sheene. Until next time, God bless you.